Welcome to Dragonroot Radio, Feminist Pod Radio, brought to you by CKUT and the 2110 Center for Gender Advocacy. Today on Dragonroot, we've got a feature on the topic of Roma in Hungary. We spoke with political science professor in Budapest, Frank Szigo, on the experience of the Roma in Hungary before and after the transition from communism, domestic politics, and the rising power of Jobbik. Here it is.
Today marks the beginning of a multi-part series on Dragonroot Radio featuring the plight of the Roma community in Hungary and attempts by the Harper government to curb Roma immigration to Canada. On December 14, 2012, Jason Kenney, Canada's Minister of Citizenship, Immigration, and Multiculturalism, updated the federal government's DCO, or Designated Countries of Origin, list with 27 countries. These include the United States in addition to 25 member states of the European Union, including Hungary declaring them safe on the grounds that they can provide adequate civil and legal protections to their citizens and thus not likely to produce refugees. This is one component of the reforms in Bill C-31 of the Protecting Canada's Immigration System Act. Stephanie Silverman, Efrat Arbel, and Juliana Bidwan note that, quote, under the new regime, DCO claimants have only 30 days to prepare their claim, which is not enough time to meet with a lawyer and properly document their persecution. They are denied rights of appeal and the ability to remain in Canada while they ask the federal court to review their case, during which time DCO claimants are also denied access to health care. In January of this year, the Harper government began a $13,000 marketing campaign funded by Canadian tax dollars in Miskolc, Hungary, where 40% of Hungarian Roma refugee applications originate, erecting billboards informing residents that, quote, people who make a claim without sound reasons will be processed and removed faster. This move is occurring in light of a troubling growth of neo-fascist movements throughout Europe, with anti-immigrant parties on the rise in France, Italy, Austria, Greece, and Hungary, among numerous others. It is within this backdrop that I invite Ferenc Szigo, professor of political science at Zsigmond Király Főiskola University in Hungary, to speak with me about the conditions of the Roma in Hungary, the growing power of right-wing parties, and how their rise to power has affected the Roma community. If you could briefly contextualize the social conditions of the Roma and their treatment in Hungary prior to the fall of communism for some context.
Okay. Well, Roma go back several centuries until about the 13th or 12th century. No one really has exact figures on that, but lived somewhat of a peripheral lifestyle, somewhat nomadic, not completely nomadic. Under communism, the communist regime basically treated the Roma not as an ethnic minority, but more as sort of a worker underclass. So the goal of the communist regime was to turn the Roma into proletariat. So more treating them more as a social group than an ethnic group, more in terms of the production means of the country, as opposed to a minority or as a human rights-focused group. So what you had under communism for the Roma was large-scale employment, actually, but in jobs that were generally not requiring much training, not requiring much education. So it was sort of the low-paying, lower-rung jobs. Given the reading that I've done, I think the level of education of the Roma was relatively acceptable at the time. School was mandatory, and the authorities did, you know, took the usual steps to make sure kids attended school. So that was a good thing. Another, I guess, a relatively positive aspect of life under communism for the Roma was the lack of overt racism, like anti-Semitism, like anti-Russian sentiment. The public sphere didn't leave any space for anti-Roma sentiment or overt racism. The problem we had with that is that it exploded at the time of the regime change. So I would sum it up by saying there were several neutral to positive aspects for the Roma under communism. At the same time, the treatment as the lower proletariat sort of trapped them socially and didn't allow them to advance.
After the fall of communism, how did the social conditions of the Roma change?
Well, the Roma, for the most part, would have been among the poorer people in Hungary, even under communism, given the kinds of jobs they were taking. With the collapse of communism, the saying we have is that the Roma were the first losers of the transition. Given the kinds of industries they were working in, you would think of heavy industry, sort of steel mills and such, and given the fact that they weren't essential cogs in production, they were the first people to lose their jobs. They were the first people to get put out on the street. So that would be one terrible consequence of the regime change. Another I alluded to before is the explosion in racism, the explosion of groups that were openly anti-Roma that would appear in public in a threatening manner, and I'm referring mostly to skinheads.
Were there any direct policies that were enacted that were directed towards the Roma community? Like, were there any explicit policies towards the Roma?
Okay, well, that's a tough question. I think your question should refer not only to the transition times, but all the years that have transpired since. In Hungary, the state does not have the legal right to force citizens to give information on their ethnicity. This is a result of the experiences of certain minority groups during the Second World War, where the state demanded information from people and basically decided who could live or who could die based on that information. So I think in a very understandable way, Hungarian society has a great aversion to providing that kind of information. Now, why am I saying this? It's very difficult for the state to actually identify who is Roma and who should be the recipient of special programs, of special aid, of social policy and such. But to directly answer your question, there have been efforts. The current government likes to use the term catching up. So their press reports generally use the term, we're investing in having the Roma catch up to, I would imagine, the societal average. The previous government used the term integration. So using Hungarian funds, using European Union structural funds to instigate programs that would allow the Roma to become recipients of essential rights that one would expect citizens in Europe to have, and to become fuller participants in the labor force, in the educational system, and so on. So programs have been instigated. The trouble is, if we look at the indicators of how the Roma are situated socially, economically, a lot of these programs do not seem to have very positive results. I would say neutral results are more common.
When you say previous governments, are you referring to the current government ruled by Fidesz, or
the current government coalition is dominated by a party called Fidesz, which is a conservative, somewhat national thinking party. They've been in power now for about close to 3 years. The previous government, which was up for two cycles, which would be 8 years, was a coalition of led by the Socialist Party, so the Communist Successor Party, and they had a coalition with a Liberal Party, small Liberal Party.
So can you describe a bit what the central platforms are of the Fidesz Party and describe their politics?
Fidesz is an interesting party to me. They've got what I would consider to be strongly national rhetoric, trying to appeal to a sense of national pride. At the same time, they advertise themselves as a conservative and Christian party. However, much of their economic policy is, I would call it rather leftist, rather reminiscent of 80s policy before the transition here. So a lot of centralization, a lot of state control of market processes. So it's a mixed bag that you see with Fidesz. Centralization is a key theme, I think, for that party.
And how has the politics changed? Because I know that Fidesz has been traditionally a center-right political party. But I know that there's been a recent lurch to the right. Can you describe that a bit for our audience?
Fidesz does position itself as center-right. However, further right, along the right-left spectrum, further right, there's a party which is a radical right party. So they're more openly anti-Roma, safe to say. They're semi-openly anti-Semitic. Not all their members are anti-Semitic openly. I don't know what they're outclosed. And it's a challenge to Fidesz to measure to what degree they should appeal to the voters of the Jobbik party. So while trying to appeal to disgruntled socialist supporters and centrists, they're also trying to appeal to people who are, in the Canadian sense, supporting a party that wouldn't show up in the Canadian political spectrum.
Can you describe who is the Jobbik party, and why would you say that?
Okay, well, Jobbik is similar to a number of parties that have popped up in Europe over the past 10, 15 years. Strongly nationalist, very suspicious of the EU. In fact, Jobbik would support Hungary leaving the EU. Anti-political elite. So one of their platforms was trying to clamp down on corruption by jailing politicians. I don't know whether due process of law was part of that platform. But to me, you know, given my interests, one of the most concerning things about Jobbik is their outright anti-Roma stance. One of the terms they used during the election was Roma crime. So they would position themselves as a party that would be tough on Roma crime, which is, I think, a very misleading and a very dangerous path to take. It's sending the message that Roma are responsible, sending the message that the Roma are responsible for crime, that all crime is committed by Roma. Not true, that all people who are Roma are criminals. Again, not true, but a dangerous message nevertheless. And this party is polling with around a 15% support rate. It fluctuates, it goes up and down a little bit, but about a steady 15%. In the Canadian context, I think it would be unimaginable to have a party that would be openly against a minority.
I'm curious about the popular perception through stereotypes of the Roma community within Hungary. I think in generally of the Roma people as a whole, and then if you could speak to the level of sexism experienced by women within the Roma community and how these stereotypes affect them in particular.
Well, I teach courses on minority politics at my college, and I'm quite surprised in two ways from year to year concerning how my students relate to the Roma. One is that they have very little knowledge about the Roma. A fundamental minority right in Europe is the teaching about minority populations in the school curriculum. So I regularly ask my students, well, when you think back to high school, elementary school, how much did you learn about the Roma? They represent 7 to 8% of the Hungarian population. And a common answer I get is, well, we didn't learn anything. We don't know who the Roma are. We don't know about their cultural contribution to Hungary. We don't know what kind of traditions or languages they have. They really know nothing. So that's quite surprising. But another surprise is I find students are largely very open and very curious when I do bring up the issues of Roma culture and Roma integration. They're thirsting for this kind of knowledge. And I think that's a very encouraging sign. If we accept the theory that greater knowledge brings a decline in prejudice, then we should be thrilled that I encounter this kind of thing in my classes. Regarding the situation of Roma women, that's a very difficult one. On one hand, you would have minority activists wanting to protect traditional minority culture. On the other hand, you have...
Thanks for tuning in this morning live from Café Blanc de Blanc. For the special edition of Dragon Root. Tune in next week for the part two of our exploring of what's happening with the Roma abroad in Hungary and also here in Canada and some of the policies that are affecting Roma here. And we will be interviewing the director of the Roma Community Center in Toronto. And I'm passing the mic.
Just really quickly, a maggot here, a femme maggot. We'd just like to say that we don't really have a lead singer or a lead guitarist or a lead drummer or anything. We try and keep the group as open as possible and try to be as non-hierarchical and even as possible. So it really ends up being this very horizontal experience, and we're all the leaders, so and you are too. I mean, the audience is just as much part of that as we are, so just wanted to note that. But yeah, tune in for Dragon Root. It's going to be amazing, and thank you so much to Blanc de Blanc and CKT. 25 years, amazing.
All right, amazing indeed, and thank you so much, Dragon Root and Fam Maggots. And that was me earlier messing up their structure, but indeed, collective movement is what they're all about and what community radio is all about. We have come to the end of the Tuesday Morning After right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Stay tuned. Next week, we will have more of Dragon Root and Jeffrey's Mackey Literary Report, Life Music Gets, and another installment of Anarchist Interventions, our newer segment that we present every week leading up to the Montreal Anarchist Book Fair. And so don't touch that dial, because Bassa Bassa is coming right up.